Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers listening this morning. We're going to talk this morning about summer activities. Let the summer fun begin with all the discipleship and evangelization youth activities. Eric Gallagher joins us to talk about that this morning. Please stick around for that interview. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday in the Easter season. Melinda North with the first and second reading, and Deacon Roger Height with the gospel.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. As the number of disciples continued to grow, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the 12 called together the community of the disciples and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the word of God to serve at table. Brothers, selected from among you 7 reputable men, filled with the Spirit and wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this task, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The proposal was acceptable to the whole community, so they chose Stephen, a man filled with faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochornus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. Even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, come to him a living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in it shall not be put to shame." Therefore, its value is for you who have faith, but for those without faith. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that will make people stumble, and a rock that will make them fall. They stumble by disobeying the word, as is their destiny. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the religious education students at St. Wenceslaus Parish in Tabor recently organized and coordinated a food drive for their area. The students included young people from grades pre-kindergarten through 12th grade. The food drive was held to help the Bonham County Food Pantry restock its shelves. The students were able to deliver 290 pounds of donated food and miscellaneous items to the food pantry in Tyndall. You can read and see more about that food drive in the May edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, Latin American bishops will discuss the evolving political crisis in Venezuela during a four-day-long assembly in El Salvador, in which they are reiterating calls for the church to go forth and serve the poor and disadvantaged. The Latin American Bishops' Council, known by its Spanish acronym CELAM, formed a special commission headed by the president of the Venezuelan Bishops' Conference, Archbishop Diego Padron Sanchez of Cumana, to study the situation and make recommendations. Cardinal Ruben Salazar Gomez of Bogota, Colombia, president of CELAM, said the council would make a statement on the situation after hearing from Venezuela representatives. At least 37 Venezuelans have died during the weeks of protests across the South American country as demonstrators have taken to the streets against President Nicolas Maduro's plans to rewrite the constitution in what they say will expand his powers. "We are particularly concerned with the situation in Venezuela," he said during a news conference. "It's difficult and complex." There's a Mother's Day mystery afoot in St. John Church in Little Chute, Wisconsin. For the past 69 years, flowers have shown up at the statue of Mary, courtesy of an anonymous donor. Though parishioners enjoy the sight of the lovely flowers, no one has figured out who the donor is. Karen Mulry, a parishioner who is retired from her family's florist business, said every year an envelope with a one-sentence letter and a check arrives at Rainbow Floral in Little Chute on the Thursday or Friday before Mother's Day. It's always written the same and says, "Dear florist, would you please put the annual purple orchid by the Blessed Virgin again this year? Thank you very much." The first check was for $2, and each year it's increased a little, Mulry told The Compass, newspaper of the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin. "I remember that first one because it was my first communion that year," she said. That was 1947. Her parents, Jack and Viola Rainbow, owned and operated the florist business that they had started in 1935. "My mother did the orchid as a wrist corsage because the arms of the statue were extended," Mulry continued. "After the church was remodeled, the statue was hung on a wall. Now we do a pot of flowers to set at Mary's feet." In a message to the people of Portugal, Pope Francis said his visit to Fatima was as a pilgrim of peace and to entrust the world to Mary's Immaculate Heart. "I come to you in the joy of sharing with you the gospel of hope and peace," the Pope said. In a message released by the Vatican, Pope Francis made a two-day visit to Fatima Friday and Saturday this week to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Marian apparitions, which began May 13, 1917, when three shepherd children reported seeing the Virgin Mary. During the visit, the Pope presided over the canonization ceremony of two of the young seers, Blessed Francisco and Blessed Jacinta Marto. In his message, the Pope thanked the Portuguese people and authorities for understanding his decision to limit the visit to the moments and acts proper to a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Fatima at the feet of the Virgin Mother. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Some beautiful moments there.
That was an exciting trip.
All right. Thanks, Gene, for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Eric Gallagher, who directs the youth part of the discipleship and evangelization team, and it extends into young adult. And really, you guys kind of work together on everything anyway, so it's all good.
Yeah, we're trying to. It's been a fun adjustment to try to. I don't know. Our offices have always been divided by age, it seems, but the more I got into youth stuff, doing it the right way, it seemed I was working with a lot of adults and parents, and so it felt like I was doing Chris's job every once in a while. And
well, isn't that the nature of discipleship?
Yeah, and we found that we both have different gifts, and if my gifts can benefit the work that he's seen needs to be done through his office, great, and vice versa. So I'm sure he has fun trying to figure out how to put me to work at times. But
well, we want to talk this morning about, and I actually titled this "Let the Summer Fun Begin," because at least for some of us that observe this, it looks like a lot of fun. I know it's also an awful lot of work that goes into it, but we think of the summertime, we think of all the different events that you are involved with and the other folks in the discipleship and evangelization group are involved with. And a lot of it is aimed at youth during the summer because that's when they're free, right?
Yeah, it's a fun time. Youth look forward to it. I think I mean, my kids are young now, 5 and 6, but they're, you can just tell when the end of the school year is coming, it's nice out. They're sitting in the classroom still all day. So, and I think for a lot of the young people who are involved in the events, they're looking forward to kind of be on retreat in a sense. And they look forward to camp, I think, especially just to be reconnected with those that they found life with and enjoy kind of, they, throughout the year, they kind of feed off of each other's experiences together throughout the summer. They know they're striving to follow Christ on their own, but things like decamp just help them to understand that they're not alone in their parishes or throughout the diocese and their families.
You know, if we want to have an analogy to understand that this time of year, we read a lot from the Acts of the Apostles, and you read those readings about how the apostles were trying to work together to figure things out. It was the relationship, of course, that they had with Jesus, but that relationship they had with each other was also very important in the development of the Christian faith.
Yeah, and they had to. There were fights.
Sometimes there were fights, disagreements.
Like their experiences are different. They're under the realities that they're living are different, and the dialogue is so important. And so I know just a lot of the kids, they leave decamp and they're trying to find that similar culture or that similar place to say, okay, well, I know something was here, but I'm struggling trying to find that same piece or that same place. And honestly, some of it's just Broomtree, the gift of Broomtree. Yeah. And we have these young adults that are, I mean, a lot of these small towns don't know what a 21-year-old Catholic looks like because they're off at college and they don't see much of them. So these kids they're trying to replicate a lot of what they've experienced over the summer. And it's hard to do that in the ordinary life. It's no different than a marriage or any sort of relationship like that. You tend to look at everyone else and see everything else seems better all the time. And the evil one likes to get us to compare, and we just feel kind of alone and isolated. And it's hard to wrestle with the reality of how the Lord's calling you to be with him.
So true. So true in all of that. Let's take a little bit of a step back, because I know you start working on this stuff, you know, really early. I mean, in order to have a team to do Totus Tuus, for example, you have to organize that well in advance.
Yeah, one of the greatest joys is getting to know these young adults. Over the last few years, we've spent our efforts. Before I came, one of the gifts that Bob Siemens had was he just had these connections nationally. Mm-hmm. I'm a South Dakota boy, so I didn't have the same capabilities of recruiting and hiring from people from across the country. So I found myself looking to find these people in throughout our diocese. And now I think the greatest benefit is we have such good campus ministry at these colleges.
Yeah.
And we're starting to kind of see this investment, I think, really of the Totus Tuus program in many ways. And they see that these kids are coming from SDSU or USD or DSU. Like, they're all across the board, these kids are coming and they're realizing this could be me in 3 or 4 years. So as a high schooler, I think it's kind of inspiring because they're motivated because they find hope. Like, I can continue living my faith out in college. So yeah, we started out in January, really, with Totus Tuus, where we started doing, I go and I host meals and stuff out of the campuses, and I do a presentation and just encourage people to apply. I met with focus missionaries at the universities and with the campus ministers and the priests, and just kind of encourage them to keep it on the radar as they meet people. So there is kind of a recruiting process that I don't know if I'm great at, but we seem to be getting the people. So
yeah, and I like what you're saying there about you're almost filling the ranks of your leaders from within. I mean, as people experience this and then move on to the next level and then the next level, they want to give back. They want to be a part of continuing this cycle.
Well, that's one of the struggles. I know when I was a youth minister in Aberdeen, I think the kids met these young people, young adults from the East Coast, or a lot of them from Steubenville. And it just seems, oh, that would be great to be like that. But people from South Dakota don't become missionaries.
That's not us. Yeah.
And so I do. I think it paints this reality of kind of a mentorship approach, a big family approach that I know has been fruitful. And having the seminarians involved, I think it has to have contributed to that discernment, the vocational awareness, because these seminarians are just great. They love just coming and being present at these parishes, and they get to meet so many young people across the diocese.
So this year, again, a number of seminarians involved in the program?
Yeah, well, 5 of the seminarians.
That's great.
3 of them coming back. They did it with us last year, and they're coming back. So it's fun for me to kind of have a little role in their formation as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think for a lot of these young adults too, like to recognize if when they're on a team with the seminarian and that seminarian becomes a priest someday, I mean, just that friendship and that community. I don't know, Totus Tuus is just a unique place where we just grow together. The formation is just incredible.
Talk about it a little bit more from the parish side, if you will, because obviously that's where most people encounter it is when the Totus Tuus team comes to their parish. And I think, gosh, now you get to what, about half of the parishes? So,
yeah, we have 28 missionaries and there's seven teams and around, I think it's 42 spots that we fill, but when we surveyed the parishes to see if they invited other parishes, it put us up about 80 parishes total, 80 to 90 parishes.
Yeah.
So wow. Yeah, they definitely have their presence known. And I think it's inspiring. It gives hope to the people across the diocese, especially when they meet again. Here's a young person from Parkston going to SDSU who's majoring in biology or whatever, and there's something about them that's different. And so when at training, we cover a lot of the evangelization side of things where we recognize that, yes, we do this program for the young children during the day and they are there with the high schoolers, but we spend a lot of time focusing on dinners with host families and being present in the evenings, getting to know those people who have opened up their doors for you. And I think a big part of the witness of these young people exists in with the adults in the parishes as well.
Would I be wrong to say that in a sense you're trying to take something that, you know, a few years ago we might have considered extraordinary and in a sense make it normal?
Yeah.
This ought to be what's normal for us.
Yeah, and they get time to just sit and share with the good things that are happening in their own campuses. And I mean it's exciting if you're a USD alum and you have these students from USD and they're talking about what's happening at the Newman Center and how different it is. I do think it just engages things in a whole different way, but it does. It kind of just seems like a good summer sit down, let's grill out and just share. And there's being from the same diocese, there's just a natural connectedness. It's easier to share stories. It's easier to kind of relate to each other. Yeah. Everyone kind of knows someone.
Yeah, exactly. So. Chances are good they're going to know somebody in common.
Yeah, and I think that just adds a ton of value to just being together because it's not just strangers. It's harder to see that when you're connected. We're still connected at the national and worldly scale, but it's different when it's just South Dakota.
Yeah, absolutely. So I assume by this point the you know parishes are all signed up, all of the logistical stuff is pretty well worked out.
Yeah, we have one. I think we have one spot open this year. That's as we continue to grow, we have these kinks we kind of have to work out. But we have one spot left for parishes who haven't done it. Audrey's even offering a discount to first-time parishes for anyone who wants to take that team.
You heard it here first on Catholic Views. You can get a discount if you're not signed up already.
And honestly, we got to put that team to work that week. So we're happy to just have them come. And we've even started allowing parishes to kind of customize what the teams do because they just want to help the parish. We're trying to avoid just being a boxed up program that parishes either like or dislike. We really hope to just serve the parish wherever they're at.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't, again, going back to the relationship part, isn't that what a relationship is? You take people where they're at and then you help them grow.
And it's challenging for me because being here now for several years, I've gotten to know the parishes. And so my biggest challenge is what's the single program that I can train these teachers to do to accommodate all the different parishes and their different dynamics. And honestly, there isn't one.
Right.
So I think parishes are starting to see a greater flexibility that I'm giving to the teams, but it's because our goal isn't necessarily to do a successful program. It's to form our young adults to be able to see and to respond to the different circumstances. I think it might come across as disorganized because they're new, they're not professional ministers, they're college students.
Right.
But I think that's something I've tried to make more apparent to the parishes is we're not trying to create a perfect program for you. Thank you for helping us form our young adults and for letting them come and witness their faith to you and your parish.
Yeah. And in the process to help form the youth in their parishes.
Yeah. And in that, I mean, that's, I think what happens, I'll tell the teachers this all throughout training, is they will only be as fruitful as they are engaged in their relationship with Christ throughout the summer. So we could teach them to do everything perfectly. We could have times, we could have schedules, we could have tasks, we could line all that up, but that's not priority. And to be honest, I think it kind of takes a back seat a lot of the times because I know the greatest fruit that happens throughout this diocese is they meet these young people who love Jesus, and there's just something different about them. And that's the thing that really changes people.
I think what you've done in the past is you've had kind of a theme for the summer, but from what I hear you say, that you're a little bit looser with that in terms of how you approach that now.
Yeah, generally speaking, there's a national theme, a TOTUS TUUS. There's a connectedness to a national entity down in Wichita that we follow, a TOTUS TUUS. So we do, this year we're focusing on salvation history and the covenants. And then we always take one of the mysteries of the rosary, and that's this year's the joyful mysteries. So the grade school kind of tends to follow that. And then the high school, we really have tried to leave it up in the air. We're trying some new things to bring some new life into the high school program this year. But yeah, generally, and then DCamp always has a theme, and that kind of bleeds into everything the teachers do too.
And part of where your different approach might be with the high school, particularly if you have a Y discipleship group in a parish, you probably go in there a little bit differently than you would if you're at a parish that doesn't have anything like that.
That's the biggest challenge for these teams is you can walk into one parish and Father opens the door and says, good luck. And we want to be able to help that parish just as much as we want to help the parish that has 10 discipleship group leaders with their five kids in each group. And if that's the case, we're not trying to replace what that parish is doing or think we can do it better than them. We'd actually just love to do a program that those groups can participate in.
Yeah.
So yeah, to help these young adults plan for that is impossible. What I think it causes then though is our flexibility in that engages the parishes more in saying, you know, if you really do have these groups ready to go, we're here to serve you. And these young adults have been well-formed in salvation history, the joyful mysteries, how to engage in small group discussions. They can give their testimony, all these things. And they love the Lord. So if you want to completely throw away everything that we've proposed for the week, our teams are willing to do that. Obviously within reason, we don't want to be out painting your classrooms all week, although
you've tried to do service projects too. That's all another topic.
It's an interesting dynamic with these teams because they as well, kind of like many of us adults, we just want to be told what to do.
Yeah.
And at training, we kind of give them some parameters, but then we say, we tell these parishes they can put you to work in giving talks. And if they want to do something a little bit later or earlier, be flexible.
Yeah. Well, it's a great challenge, but a great program, I think. And obviously the parishes do appreciate it because they keep signing up.
Yeah. It's for me, the thing that struck me this last year is it seems to be the program that I direct that has grown the most since I've been here. And it's the one I've probably promoted the least, if at all. We send out things to parishes saying, hey, spots are open if you want them. But even a turnaround, I think what happens is pastors see TOTUS TUUS happening, and then when they get moved, when they find out that parish doesn't have it, they're like, you don't do TOTUS TUUS.
Yeah.
And really, I think financially, it's many parishes like even make money because we don't charge a lot for a team, and then they can charge the kids registration, and it usually pays for itself anyways.
So here's what I'd say to listeners. If you're in a parish and you see in your parish bulletin that the TOTUS TUUS team is going to be in town, there's ways to plug into that almost in every parish, the way the TOTUS TUUS works. But take advantage of it because you're going to see some great witnesses to the faith at whatever level.
Yeah, and you can bring them a meal. You can bring them lunch during the day. You can have them over for supper. I think the gift of just being able to meet these young people. I mean, I'm blessed because I get to spend the whole summer with them in different capacities and really get to know them. But I think one of the greatest gifts of TOTUS TUUS is just getting to know these young adults that they're truly desiring to follow the Lord in all that they do.
A few minutes left this morning. We do want to talk a little bit about DCamps a little bit more, and then also about, I don't know if there's any outside trips this year, like Steubenville or any of that going on, but let's spend the time we got left talking about those things.
Yeah, DCamp is, our second camp is full, which is great. Our first is filling up, and then our junior high camp usually gets almost full. But they're four-day camps. About 100 kids come to each one. They're down at Broomtree. They've kind of become the staple event for if your kid seems to be interested in the faith or wanting to especially meet other kids from the diocese, that seems to be the place. Our theme this year is Into Your Hands, which is going to be our hope is to kind of to separate the world from heaven and to understand Jesus on the cross and how he can be on the cross but still his heart be united to heaven, and how we do that, how we can live in a world that is rougher on the edges, hard, difficult at times, but you can still have peace. So how could Jesus possibly be on the cross and still find hope in that? So that's a big part of it.
That seems like a pretty timely topic, actually.
Yeah, and I think that's the hard part is these kids are wrestling with a lot of things. There's all kinds of stuff. Always. I mean, there's shows on Netflix now that are controversial, and what do we do about that? And I think generally we just have to be ready to look up to heaven and say, Father, what are you doing here?
Into your hands, Lord, we commend our spirit. Absolutely so. Yeah. So decamps again, getting filled up, and all of this stuff. If you want to sign up, you work through your parish directly, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Everything's online as well. The last thing I would say we're doing this summer is for the first time we're offering confirmation retreats. So we have some margin in the Totus Tuus schedule because we've started offering parish as a 4-day option. So we're actually doing some diocesan confirmation retreats, which we've never done. So it'll have 4 of the Totus Tuus teams, 16 of them, showing up at a single parish, and they have 2 of those in June and 1 in July. So I think a lot, it's also been a kind of a demand from parishes for some time that we would offer more opportunities like this. And so again, I think just having these confirmation students meet these young adults, maybe if they aren't involved in Totus Tuus or something, then at least they get to meet the young people.
That's pretty cool that you go right to the parish.
Yeah, we're doing one here in Sioux Falls. We're going to do one in Mitchell, and then we have another one in Britton. So it's going to be fun to have. The teams will enjoy all getting back together for a 1-day retreat as well.
I really like that idea too, because I think I think a lot of times for confirmation kids at that age, the age they're at, it's a tough age in a lot of ways, and to engage in the faith in a real direct way sometimes is a challenge. But here's an opportunity that comes at them a little bit differently.
Yeah, and we've limited numbers to the retreats so that they can really get some time with these missionaries. And that's the hope, is to at least find time throughout the day where if these young people have any questions, if they just need someone to talk to, that our missionaries are available to them. So yeah, we're weaving in and out. It's just, I think that we don't just want to do a retreat to meet requirements and to get to check a box. We really want to be present and make something that might be required in the parish just a valuable opportunity and give them time to rest as well throughout the day.
I knew we were going to do this. Lots of good stuff going on. We had no trouble filling our allotted time this morning. Eric, again, if people want to know more about it, anything that we talked about this morning, I know they can contact you or check out the website. That's probably the best place.
Yes. Yep. Everything's on the website for you.
sfcatholic.org, and then click on the youth button.
Yes.
All right. We'll do it. Eric Gallagher, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Gene, I was thinking how nice it is that Mother's Day and the Fatima Centenary kind of coincided this year. Beautiful thing.
That is an amazing thing. It's a great deal.
Yeah, absolutely so. And certainly we wish every mother, living and past, yours and mine included, a very happy Mother's Day.
Exactly.
Very good. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back with you next Sunday.